Well, good evening. It's so nice to be here tonight. That when Adam had corresponded with us, I don't know, some months ago, we were quite touched by the fact that he still remembers some of us, something about us. So hopefully it was good things. And then I guess about, I think it must have been the end of March, there was the Ontario Day of Prayer, and Keith Blair was over to that and Kingston, and I was over there, and he mentioned that our names were up on the board in between meetings and so on. And so we're very encouraging just to hear that and to know that you guys are praying for us. Of course, we both have connection to Read of You. It goes quite a few years ago. I won't give all the story now because we'll have bits and pieces just happen to come up, but I can remember different things. I remember when I was 16 years old, I remember for the Easter conferences, I had split them between here and Bridalwood, and it was here that year, and I was asked to give my testimony on the youth night on the Friday night. And I didn't even realize this at the time, but right after the message, somebody reminded me, after I gave my testimony, they quickly pointed out that I was up here in my sock feet, and I didn't have my shoes on. So tonight I'm going to make sure that I work hard to keep my shoes on, because I was reminded that a few years later that, remember that time you did that? And so definitely a lot of fond memories over the years. I'll say missions really began, even the idea of missions began in my heart years ago when, you know, we used to have the missionary breakfast at, I think it was at the Talisman Hotel. And remember that quite often as a young teenager and going to that and hearing different missionaries, and that really planted a seed in my heart at least. And since then we were able to go to a few missionary breakfasts together. But it's just a privilege to be here tonight with you to share what the Lord is doing in our lives and what he's doing even around the world. Now, for the first part of the presentation, we're going to break it up into two little sections here. Three of our boys want to had offered to be involved in the presentation, and so we've done quite a few of them by now, and they've done very well. So I'm going to turn it over to them. They're going to tell us about a bit about the country and some interesting information. So these are our three boys. We got Jacob is the oldest, and then Isaiah and Titus.
I'm going to turn this on. There we go. Okay. There you go. All right.
Good evening. Today I'm going to give you some information on Papua New Guinea with my brothers here. Location: Papua New Guinea is found above Australia and below Asia.
Geography. The eastern part of the island of New Guinea is called Papua New Guinea, and the other side is called Indonesia. Mountains occupy the central part of the island. This zone is called the Highlands. There is no road that goes across the country, so you have to travel by air, ship, or foot.
Origin of the PNG flag. The design of the flag is with a 15-year-old girl, Susan Kerke, now known as Susan Ho.
Language. The national language is Talkies. It has over 800 different languages. The true language is Pidgin.
Official language is English. English is used in businesses, schools, and used little outside the city. Population. 5.5 million people are established in Papua New Guinea.
The people of PNG are divided in four categories called the New Guineans in the north, the Papuans in the south, the Highlanders in the mountains, and the Islanders in the islands surrounding Papua New Guinea.
Time difference. 14 hours ahead of us.
Money. One Canadian dollar equals 2.53 Papua New Guinean Kina dollar.
Ammo. There are about 109 species of mammals in Papua New Guinea. The blue bear is one of the favorite birds in PNG.
The breakfasts in PNG are mostly tea and coffee, also pastries, fruits, or even fish and rice. The drinks are usually soft drinks, tea, coffee, juices, milk, and water. Tribal foods are mostly root crops such as cocoa, yams, and toro. Mumu is a traditional dish. The staple food is sweet potato. They eat local fruits such as bananas, mangoes, and pineapples. Foods on the base where we'll be staying are most of the foods you find here, but you can't find milk there. Temperature coasts are usually hot and humid, average of 36 degrees Celsius. In the highlands where we'll be staying, they usually have a hot and daily temperatures of 26 degrees Celsius, but at night could drop down right to 10 degrees Celsius. PNG goes through a long wet and rainy season.
There's a great belief, strong beliefs about death, magic, and sorcery. Some protested that won't make classic in larger areas.
Natural resource and economy. 85% of the population are farmers in PNG and do very well. There's no problem with starvation there. Natural resources: gold, silver, nickel, copper, oil, forestry, and fishing.
Culture. Not there free on Papua New Guinea. Receiving gifts puts you under obligations to supply good or services to them in the future. The people of PNG value strong family ties above personal success. Other PNG information. There are 816 languages in PNG, and 378 of the languages has no scripture. That means 438 languages has a part of the Bible or one in progress. The PNG income in 2001 is $930 per year. That's 3% of the U.S. income. There was an earthquake on February 26, 2018 on the island.
You're next up.
Okay, very good, guys. So yeah, we're headed to Papua New Guinea. Lord willing, we'll be heading out in July. We're tentatively planning the second week of July. We're just waiting to get our passports back. We finally got approved for our entry permits. Our visas were approved some time ago, but our entry permits took a little bit longer than I'd originally planned. And so we should be getting those passports back this week. And Lord willing, by the end of the week, we'll have our airplane tickets and travel dates and all that kind of fun stuff. So that's coming up very soon. And so I thought it'd be interesting just to kind of fill you in some of the details, because we were here, we left in 2000. So a few years ago. We came back for a few Easter conferences after that, but it wasn't too long before it became too hard to come back for those. But so Chantal and I had met actually here. I'll mention it later on about the article in the Ethnos magazine. You'll see it mentions Ottawa, and really you can fill in the blank in that being here in this assembly a few years ago. And we'd moved back to Sudbury. Chantal moved to Sudbury, I should say. I didn't move back. She was from there. I'm from Renfrew. And because there was an interest there, I followed her to Sudbury. We got married the year after. With the whole intention of actually moving back to Ottawa. That was always our plan. The Lord had other things in mind. And I think this idea sums up much of our life. And it's really true of every one of us as believers. When we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we enroll into a school. We really enroll into His school. And He'll bring all kinds of stuff along our way to teach us and train us and to mold us, with really the goal of being Christ-like. That's really His ultimate goal for our lives. And we can look back over our lives and we can see many things that prepared us for where we are today. If we had the choice, we probably would have done things quite differently. But now we look back on it and say, you know what? The Lord's timing and the Lord's direction is perfect. We learn so much over the years. And even as we share tonight, we do so with, say, a little bit of maybe fear and trepidation, because we know that there's ones here who could definitely speak far more and greater about some of the things we'll share with you tonight. That we're just, in many ways, in the starting blocks. But from here, so we went to Sudbury. We're there for 7 years from the beginning to the end. We're very involved in the assembly. We learned a lot of things there. We're involved in kids club and youth work and some outreach opportunities. We became involved in camp work and went to university there. And in 2006, the Lord opened the opportunity for us to go to Belize in Central America. And so we prayed about that, and the Lord opened up the opportunity. We were able to go for 3 months. And that's the long story of how all that came to be. But we had felt after that, after coming home, it really did change our lives. You know, you get a completely different perspective of how other people live in our world. You know, we have so much, and we take so much for granted. And you see how much, you know, even as Jacob had mentioned, you know, $930 a year. You know, I think for most of us, you know, say not even $930 a week would be hard. But think about a year. We just have so much stuff in our country. So we came back and we really prayed about what the Lord would want for us going forward. We actually considered going to Belize as missionaries the following year. I came back and did teacher's college, and before I did teacher's college, we sold our house and said, Lord, whatever you would have for us after this year, we're willing to do and willing to go. And if that's Belize, that's good. We're happy with that. And the Lord closed that door. And ironically, he gave us, the door was open. I was offered a full-time teaching job in math and computers in Blind River, Ontario, right after teacher's college. But we prayed about it, and we didn't have a peace about it. And so we actually turned down a full-time job opportunity, and we moved to New Liskeard. And we didn't have a job. I didn't have a job. We moved there, bought a house without having any kind of guaranteed income. But we believe that's where the Lord wanted us to be. We're involved with Northland Bible Camp, and it's just over an hour away, so it was a lot closer than Sudbury, which was about 3.5 hours or so away. And so we said, this is where the Lord wants us to be. And so we moved there. And it was, I'll be honest, it was definitely a challenging first year that we were there without any kind of guaranteed work, anything going on. But then the Lord opened up an opportunity at the community college, Northern College. Their main campus is in Timmins, but they have, it's actually Haileybury School of Mines years and years ago, that it's in Haileybury, and so it became Northern College just over 50 years ago, and I was offered a full-time job there. And it's interesting how the Lord works, because the person that I would replace, you'll actually find them in the Missionary Prayer Handbook. And Mitch and Lori Perron, they're from the Englehart area, Charlton area, and they're with the Gospel Halls, and they went to Nicaragua. So he left to go serve the Lord overseas, and now I guess it's my turn. So I've kind of warned the person who's going to be taking over for me that, just so you know, you may have to pack your bags and be ready to go too. It's just a track record. He might have a little longer than me. I was at the college for 10 years. I'm just finishing 10 years now, and Mitch was 7 years. So I don't know if it keeps going up or not, but yeah, it's interesting. We would have never seen these things happen. To be completely honest, I am so thankful I was able to teach in the college system and not in high school. You couldn't get a better environment to work in, and some great opportunities. A few people come to know the Lord through that opportunity and have some Christianity explored with a few people, and so that was definitely exciting. And a lot went on. We had 4 kids, of course, in that time, and they're here tonight. And so that's our lives in a nutshell. You just got the whole 17 years in not even 17 minutes. So a lot of details, but that's really where we are. So really, how did we get from where we are there? Because in all reality, we were quite settled in New Liskeard. I became an elder there about 3 years ago. You know, I have a good job. I could retire if we keep with it, you know. By 57, I could retire, full pension, you know, our house would be paid for, right? That would be the perfect time to go. You don't have to worry about support and all that kind of stuff, you know, all the kids are settled and doing their thing by then, you know, that would be the perfect time. We love our community that we live in. Why now? It's quite interesting because missions has always been something that's been in our mind, in our hearts. We've always read missionary stories with our kids. We have such in many ways, a limited view of God. We don't see God, in many ways, doing great things today in our assemblies. We might see some people saved, maybe a couple people saved a year, maybe if that in a lot of assemblies. And we just don't see great things happening. So we get a very narrow view of God, that God's just not doing things today. But that nothing's farther from the truth. God's doing all kinds of things. He's doing all kinds of things in Canada. And we've been hearing reports lately of things going on in the far reaches of Canada. And amazing things that are going on. And all over this world, God does amazing things. Our God is not asleep. He isn't just given up and said, you know what, we'll just kind of keep on going for a little while. He's at work. And so we enjoyed reading those things with our kids. And we thought at different times over the years, maybe we should consider going. Well, the problem was when we bought this house, because we didn't have any kind of guaranteed income, we had to buy a cheaper house that needed a lot of work. And that was kind of a fun project. We moved in October. I told Chantel, well, by Christmas, we should have the whole upstairs done. And I had to gut everything, you know, out to the wall, outside wall studs, and kind of a little bit unreasonable, but I thought it was possible. And needless to say, that process took about 8 years from start to finish. So really, we couldn't go anywhere during that time because, you know, we couldn't sell our house. We'd lose money on it because of the state of affairs it was in. And that really up till about 2 years ago. But then we were settled. We're comfortable. And then last spring, there's the Ontario Workers and Elders Conference in June. We went down there for the first time last year, and we met another young family. Some of you might have heard the names, or possibly John and Krista Poitevin. And they were going to Tanzania. They actually went on January 1st and flew over with their three kids, and so we got to know them a bit at the Workers and Elders Conference last year. We invited them to Northern Ontario to come, you know, speak in our assembly, but also the assemblies around, so they came up and stayed with us for a week. But in preparation for them to come, I said, well, we'll check out the Ethnos website, and, you know, New Tribes Ethnos, we'll explain that in a minute. But I said, you know what, let's just take a look at the opportunities. Not something I recommend doing, if you're content to be where you are. Because you said, well, we'll just check out opportunities. Check, you know, they got all kinds of listings for different things you can search by. And so secondary teachers, mathematics, and to my surprise, at least, I was in high demand. Whoever would have thought a math teacher would be in such demand? You know, there's four different countries that had a need for a high school math teacher with Ethnos, and Papua New Guinea was an urgent need. And so we talked about it and said, well, we'll pray about it and we'll see as the Lord directs. And the Lord basically said, well, even in that process, you know, well, how about now? Are you ready to go now? And so that's really how we got to from where we are to where we are today and getting ready for Papua New Guinea. I'll share a little more of that just as time goes on. But I think it was January or February. We had to make up our prayer cards. And that's when it really hit home that this is official now. You know, you can't get prayer cards made up and give out prayer cards and then say, well, yeah, actually, we decided we're not going now. You know, so basically we were locked in and said we're going. And so that really started the process. In many ways, while we've been going through this, we've been reminded in many different ways of Abraham. And Abraham's journey and his walk with the Lord. It's amazing when you think of Abraham and what he was called to and how the Lord led him and taught him. And, you know, think of different mistakes that were made along the way and repercussions from that. Think of his time in Egypt and how that would go on for years, just some of the problems from that. And think of Abraham. And here we read in Chapter 12, verse 1, it said, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. That's been very true to us in so many ways. Papua New Guinea has never been on our map saying, you know, that would be our destination where we had planned to go if the Lord would call us to missions. In many ways, we felt Belize would be a great place. You know, it's English speaking. We've been there before. We have a relationship with some of the people. That would be the prime spot to go. So Papua New Guinea, and some of you would remember Jeremy Sove, because he went from here to Papua New Guinea quite a few years ago. And that's my only connection with that place. But this is where the Lord is calling us. So really, it becomes challenging because we're going to tell you about going to Papua New Guinea and what we'll be doing. But in many ways, we have no idea. We know this is where the Lord wants us to be. We know some of the stuff that we'll be doing, but there's a lot of stuff that we don't know. It's not like we know people there and we'll be able to connect with them. Ironically, everybody we seem to get in contact with there are leaving. And so I don't know if they heard that we're coming and they said, you know, we want out of here, or what it is, but just so happens many of the people we've made contact with are coming back to Canada or the U.S. on furlough. And so we really are going somewhere we've never been. And really, we don't even know all the work we'll be doing, but we know this is what the Lord has for us for this time. In terms of time frame, we don't even know how long we're going. With my work, I'm able to take a year leave of absence from work, and so I can return a year later. Said, well, you know what? The Lord hasn't shown us otherwise, so we might as well keep that door open. We don't know what He has for us after the year. Just with our kids' passports and stuff, we've applied for three-year visas, and we were granted three-year visas, so that door's open too. So we could be there for 3 years, we could be there for 1 year. I mentioned John and Krista Poitevin, who went to Tanzania with the plan to live there forever, and they had to come home after 2 months because Krista had a tumor, and she had to have surgery, and just even still working through that. So you can pray for that family. Lord willing, their plan is to go back when she's been all cleared. She already had brain surgery, and she's going this coming month for an MRI to see when radiation should start. And if that all gets cleared up, they want to go back. So we really don't know any of those things. They planned for 4 years. The Lord says, well, you got 2 months. And then, again, it's amazing because I think about that, and it's amazing how God works in all of these ways. You know, and we had the opportunity to meet with them again. We went down to the Workers and Elders Conference. We actually went down to Ethnos for some training, and they happened to be there. You know, they were planning them to be in Tanzania, but we had some time with them. But, you know, you never know how the Lord uses these things. You know, wouldn't it be an amazing story if we find out that somebody on that plane, because they had to fly with a doctor, or one of the doctors that operated came to know the Lord because of their testimony through what had gone on. I mean, would that be a far out there thing? Is that not in the realm of the possible with our God to do something like that? And so we don't know how they all work and come together, but much like I said with Abraham, it was a journey of faith going without knowing. And it's very much the way it is. We don't know, but He does. Now we just need to have the confidence that He has our best interest in mind, which He does. But ultimately, it's not our best interest that He has in mind, it's His. And it's for His glory and His honor. And unlike Abraham, we can say, we can look back on our lives. We don't know Abraham's life before this point, but we can look back and see ways that God has worked in our life. Things, you know, whether it was Belize, whether it was moving to New Liskeard, we saw the Lord's direction. We saw Him faithfully provide. He took care of us. He blessed us greatly through that. And so we can go with confidence that His way is best. So we can say we're with all kinds of organizations. So one is Ethnos Canada. They did change their name last year. Last year was the 75th anniversary for New Tribe Mission. At that time, they changed the name, not just because it was a thing to do, but there's a lot of different reasons why. One of them has to do with these things here. You may not think about it, but you can go to a lot of tribes today and have very little influence from the outside world, but they have cell phones because they'll have a charging post in the jungle with a solar panel and they can go charge their cell phone. And so what would happen in some of these tribes is, you know, one of the things you do on a cell phone is surf the internet. And so they'd actually look up the missionary's name in Google and find out, oh, well, you're with New Tribes Mission. Why are you calling us a new tribe? We've been here for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And, you know, you guys are newer than we are. And so that was part of the reason. One, tribes, of course, is not as politically correct anymore either. So, you know, people groups or something along those lines. And then mission closes more doors than it opens when you attach the word mission to the name. And so they decided to change their name to Ethnos. It's Ethnos Canada. In the U.S., they wanted just Ethnos, but that name was used elsewhere, so they had to add 360 to it. And so Ethnos 360. A number of places have changed their name to Ethnos 360, but not everywhere. In Papua New Guinea, it's still New Tribes Mission, so we can still say we're with New Tribes Mission, and that's very correct. And then also where you'll find us next year, Lord willing, of course, we'll be in the Missionary Prayer Handbook with MSC as well. And so a lot of different things. The mission statement for Ethnos Canada, it's actually in their boardroom in Durham. And that's what it says. That motivated by the love of Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit, Ethnos Canada exists to assist the ministry of the local church, the mobilizing, equipping, and coordinating of missionaries to see indigenous New Testament churches established among unreached people groups through evangelizing and translating the scriptures that truly glorify God. And that's really their purpose, or their heartbeat, if you would, is really unreached people groups. And so in many ways, we feel like we're, I don't know what we'd say, we don't feel that we're that high on the totem pole here of, you know, missionaries. You know, we think of those who are in the tribes. You know, I think of the Willards who are there and what all is involved with that. You know, we're going, and I'm going as a teacher. Chantal, once the kids have settled and so on, she was an occupational therapist before kids, or BC, before children. So she'll either assist in the medical clinic or in the school. We'll figure that out as the Lord directs when we get there. But, you know, we're going to support. We're really in a supporting role. But that's one of the neat things with whether it's Ethnos or any of these other organizations. It really is a large group of people that are involved in order for the gospel to get into those tribal settings. We might not think of it. We might think of just the missionaries off there by themselves. But, of course, there's a lot of work that goes into that. You know, materials. How do you get food and clothing and all the supplies that you need? You don't just go on your phone and punch it into Amazon and have it dropped to you in the jungle. You know, you have supply buyers. You know, funds. How do funds get from here to there? You know, if you write a check for $100 to someone in the jungle, yeah, they can open it up and say, well, even if it's $100 cash, say, well, what can I do with that? It's no good in the jungle. Nobody knows what that is. And so, you know, there's financial people, there's accountants, there's pilots, there's teachers, all kinds of people, maintenance people, and so on and so forth. There's quite a list of people that all support the work that goes on in order for the gospel to be involved. And in many ways, it's not even just people over there. Right, we can all be involved in that work, whether we're praying for missionaries, whether we write a letter and encourage missionaries. You know, you don't even have to worry about letters anymore. You know, you used to write a letter and you hope they get it. You don't know if they got it. You know, maybe 3 months from now, you might get a response back. You know, you can send an email and get a response back relatively quick. That's amazing. And we can be a part of that work. Of course, we can share financially, right? If you think about it, the way the Lord has the work is, you know, we can't all go as missionaries because you need people who are working here, doing the work here as well, and who can financially support the work and so on. We all have a part to play in this work of seeing people saved. And whether it's people in the jungles of Africa or Papua New Guinea or even here in Canada, that we all have a part to play in this great commission of our Lord and our Savior to share the gospel. Again, for Ethnos, their heartbeat, their desire is unreached people groups. You might have seen this before, but again, I'm sure the Willards can attest to this. It's a long process. It's not a short-term opportunity that you go in to try and bring the gospel to an unreached people group. You know, you can see on there, there's some training that takes place in the start. But again, not from our experience, just from what we're told. You know, sometimes you get dropped off by the helicopter or the plane, and you've got to set up some kind of temporary shelter to live in for a while, and trying to learn a language which you really don't know, and so a lot of pointing and so on. to finally learning some of the language and the culture, but then you got this language that's never been written down. It's never been recorded. And so now you've got to come up with a way of actually putting that into print, because the goal is to get the scriptures in print. So you need to have a written language. And so now you're coming up with a written language, and you got to teach the people the written language. And then you got to translate the scriptures. And I never really thought of it before, but just some of that process involved. We have a fairly good idea of much of the customs and things of the scriptures. You know, think of shepherding, for instance. We think of the idea of shepherds. We might have seen sheep farms, might have seen pictures of a shepherd, might even have an idea of Middle Eastern, how they would do their shepherdry. And, you know, you think of the door and the Lord Jesus Christ being in the door of the pen and so on. Well, what about a tribe in the middle of nowhere that has no idea even what a sheep is? Right? You got to teach them all of these things. They have no idea. And you got to be true to the scriptures. And you can't, you know, alter the scriptures. And it's just quite a process involved. And then to teach them the word of God, you know, Lord willing, by the grace of God, seeing a people group saved and being able to disciple them and equip them so that you can leave. Really, you know, the idea is not for missionaries to be there forever. It's to teach and train the people so they can carry on the work, and it will go on when you leave. And so you can see here, this is a timeline that they kind of put together between zero and, we'll say, maybe on average 25 years. It's a long process. And of course, there's no guarantee in that. There's no guarantee how the Lord will use that. You know, of course, there are many stories of tribes being radically saved and lives being tremendously saved through the gospel. Of course, there's other ones where the work has gone on faithfully for years and years and years, and there's no fruit, as it were, to be seen at the time, and just a very hard and discouraging work. But we don't know how the Lord will use that in His picture, in His way. You know, we would write things very differently. You know, I thought of even the five missionaries to Ecuador, and we think of so many years ago, I forget how many years ago, 62 years ago now or something like that. And, you know, Nate Saint and Jim Elliott and Roger Udarian and the others, you say, well, if we could have written that story, we probably would have written it entirely differently, right? We would never have had those five men die. You know, young fathers, husbands, that's not the way we would have done it. I wonder what we would have seen as a result if we could have written that story. Maybe that tribe would have never trusted the Lord, right? But you look and you see the story that's gone on from there, and it's incredible. You think of, I'm trying to think of Nate Saint, Steve Saint. You know, he was baptized by some of the very men who killed his father. An incredible story. And hundreds of people in that tribe who came to know the Lord because of the ones who went, and widows, and went and lived among the tribe. I think of Elizabeth Elliot and Rachel Saint, Nate Saint's sister, and would even go to the very people that killed their loved ones. It's incredible. And we see how many are saved. And yeah, I like to use maybe my imagination sometimes. I don't know how much of what goes on down here is heaven is aware of. I think of those five men in heaven. And the next time you've seen these men who just took their lives, that was their last scene on this earth. And then fast forward, a few decades later, and one of them show up in heaven. And I say, wait a minute, I know you from somewhere. I've seen you somewhere before. Oh wait, you killed me. And well, we're happy you're here. So on and so forth, right? Just incredible stories how God works, not the way we would expect, but far greater. And we can think of so many things that God uses for His good. We may not know of it this side of eternity, but it's all part of His work, and so quite a long process that goes on. So that's just for just some information as you think about those who are laboring among the tribes and so on. I pray for them. It's a long work, a tedious work, and commit them before you. We do have on the back, we put onto the chairs back there, a few different things for you. One is the Ethnos magazine. It comes out quarterly. It just so happens we're in this quarter. We were asked if we want to be, if we'd be willing to be put in there, and it says sure. And then lo and behold, we're in there. And again, you'll see a little shout out to Ottawa here. when it talks about where our relationship started is here, so you can think of that being here. Now, we do have a few other things, prayer cards as well. I encourage you to grab one if you think about praying for us. There's just a few copies of our newsletter we send out by email. We try and send it out once a month. And so we'll have one coming up this coming week. So there's a few paper copies, but if you'd like to get an email copy, by all means, give us your email address, and we'd love to get that for you. Now, where is Papua New Guinea? Well, let's see if this will work. Yes. So the world, we've been there, I hope. Some of you might even recognize this place. I hope you recognize that's where you are tonight. Hopefully you've seen it before. And so we got to leave Canada, then Ontario. More than likely we'll fly through Los Angeles. And you'll see Australia way down in the bottom left. And then we come to this country. It's basically divided in two, left and right. The left side is Papua, which is Indonesia. The right side is Papua New Guinea. You'll see a mountain range that basically divides the island in half. We're up in the mountains. And this is the new tribe's base in Papua New Guinea. This is basically the main hub of the country. So this is where the school is. This is where the medical center is. All the accounting and paperwork and a lot of leadership stuff takes place here. There are regional places from there, and then from there you go out into the different tribes. And so this is where we will find ourselves for the next year, or shorter or longer, depending as the Lord sees fit. And just to give you a bit of information about the place itself, it began in 1950, so quite a few years ago. These numbers just got last week, and these are for 2018. So there are over 700 missionaries with just new tribes in PNG. Of course, there's other works that go on there. MAF would be there as well. Wycliffe would be there. So these are just for new tribes missionaries. So 700, 368 if you count just the adults, and of course kids with that and so on. And so quite a number of people. You think of, really is a small country when you look at it on a map. But a lot of work going on. But as you saw, the vast number of languages and people groups that are there. And so currently this year, there'll be work in 39 tribes that are going on. To date, there's been a total of 80 tribes that they've been involved with. We'll be at the field headquarters called Lapalo. And again, there's all kinds of stories like this that there was a few years ago. We were told this story last year. We heard it somewhere of just the number of tribes that are asking for missionaries to go. You know, they've seen another tribe. They've seen how the Lord has done an amazing work. Because, again, we really don't understand what it's like for many of these people. You know, they live in fear day in and day out. Even when we went to the training in Durham, one of the missionaries was telling us just, this is in Indonesia, but you know, the men and women would sleep in different houses. Even though they'd be married, or what we'd call being married, they would live in different houses. The women would all sleep together. They'd have a fire in the middle of the house, and they'd all sleep with their heads near the fire to keep warm. But the men would sleep in another house, and they would sleep with their feet by the fire. And they'd be out like spokes of a wheel in that fashion. And the reason would be is because they were always afraid. They were afraid of a neighboring tribe would come. And if they were to take a spear and to throw it in, you know, they know where the fire is. And if all the heads were there, well, they're guaranteed to get somebody. So they would sleep out away from the fire. That way, if somebody threw a spear in, you might get a spear in the leg. And by then, the men could go and attack. And they weren't worried of the women being attacked. It would be the men that they would be after and so on. And so there'd be fear of war and fighting. And, you know, missions has gotten maybe a bad rap, or there's people who would question, why would you want to go into a tribe that, you know, is self-sufficient, they're living their way, their custom, their life, and why would you come in and bring Christianity to them? They don't need that. They're quite fine on their own. But you talk to these people, and you know, their lives are just in fear day in and day out, and spirits, and you know, evil spirits, and trying to appease the spirits, and be afraid of this, and afraid of that, and sacrifices, and so on. The list goes on, just fear and fear and fear, day in and day out. And so there are a number of tribes that come to know the Lord, a number of people, rather, in the tribes that come to know the Lord. And so there's been a request by many other tribes to say, we want the gospel too, but the problem is there's just not enough people to go. It is a long process, and we've met many missionaries who have gone or plan to go, but the Lord had other things in mind. Health has been a huge thing for a lot of families to deal with, and have had to come home as a result of that and deal with health for different things. So this is the mission school, Numahoy Christian Academy. It goes from grade 1 to high school, and so I'll be teaching in the high school. It is a boarding school, so again, there's a number of kids. There's really two different ways that schooling takes place. There's a number of missionaries that will homeschool, and so there's a homeschooling network, and there's all kinds of resources that they provide for those who are doing that, or you can come to the Christian Academy. It's run a little bit differently than at least what I would have in mind is a boarding school. I think of years gone by, and you might get home at Christmas. If not, you know, you'd have to wait till the following summer before you could get reunited with your family, and it'd be a long time away from the family. This is quite a bit different. They do 4 semesters, and the semesters are on average 6 to 8 weeks. And so they go to school for 6 to 8 weeks, and then they go back home for 3 weeks, and then they come back for another semester. Again, 3-week break, and then their last one, of course, after the 4th one, they still do have 2 months off. And so for them, it would be June and July, and so their school year starts in August. So don't tell my kids, but they lose out a month of their holidays this year, because they go to the end of June, and then they have to start in August, so they get gypped. But when the Lord has us come back, they might gain a month, so get it later on. So we're looking forward to that again. So there are missionary kids there. There are missionary kids from people on the base. There's ones from outside in the tribes. There's other, of course, mission groups that are involved there, and their kids will send their parents will send their kids to the school. There are some local kids, of course, and some government official kids. There's about 150 kids in that range from grade 1 to grade 12. Again, it's interesting how the Lord works. I would have never have thought that I'd even end up teaching my own kids at the college. I mean, there's a chance that they'd end up going to college in Northern Ontario, but probably not likely. Again, we have the mass exodus from Northern Ontario to bigger, broader places like Ottawa and so on. But as it'll turn out, that one of the things they'd like me to do is to teach a technology class once a week to all the different grades. So the kids were quite excited for that. I said, well, just be careful before you're too excited, because you might find out it's not so good after all. Going to be the example for everyone else. So it'll be definitely an exciting time. So here's just some pictures of the kids and so on at the school and so on. This is the house that we'll be living in. Again, as soon as we mention Papua New Guinea, people are automatically assuming we're in a mud hut somewhere, and there are definitely people who live in those. We're a little more blessed, I would say, with what we have here. Again, it's quite an interesting story, and there's a lot of interesting stories. I wish I could take, an hour, 2 hours today and just share different things that the Lord has done that is just completely amazing. Right, we've seen the Lord work and confirm in so many different ways, whether it's through reading the Word of God and Him showing us things, whether it's from just circumstances themselves or the Spirit of God within us. I got to share this story. So again, we're in New Liskeard. How many know where even New Liskeard is? Well, that's pretty good, actually. So for those who don't, if you know where North Bay is, I know that's pretty far north. We're about an hour and 45 minutes north of that. And there's a young couple in our assembly. They got married in October. And this is a time where we know the Lord has something for us this coming year. We're just still trying to figure it out. In our minds, we were kind of debating, well, we kind of feel the Lord wants us here, but in many ways, maybe we should do the training first That way, if the Lord wants us to go out, it's more of a permanent move. We kind of have a more long-term plan. So we're kind of working through that and praying through those details and so on. But at this wedding, Northern Ontario, it just so happens we meet this older couple, and they have a lot of connections to the work in Papua New Guinea. And I said, well, you really got to talk to our niece, and she's here at the wedding. A young woman, married and in her mid-20s, we'll say. And I said, well, she grew up in Papua New Guinea. She went to that school that you'll be teaching at. Her family had moved over when she was 10. And so she had grown up there. It just so happens that our oldest at that time was 10. And so here we are at this wedding in Northern Ontario, and we're actually getting to talk with someone who grew up at the very place we're going to be. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. I think that's most certainly the hand of the Lord. And all kinds of things like that. We trust the Lord, and He shows us. He directs us. It's an amazing walk that we have with the Lord. So, a little story about this house. So, the missionaries who own this house are actually going on furlough for the year. And they're from the U.S., and so they're leaving in, well, I guess we're June now, so they're leaving shortly, and we'll be able to go into their house. And one of the things they offered is that, you know, you can use, we're willing to leave out all this kind of stuff, you know, dishes and, you know, toaster and coffee maker. We don't drink coffee, but, you know, coffee maker, a whole list of stuff. And here we are, you know, we're trying to figure out, how are you going to get all of our stuff there? You know, we've got, you know, four kids and all of our stuff and trying to get through airports. So this is an amazing blessing. One of the things that Chantal does is she bakes bread. And she could do it from scratch without a bread maker, but without a mixer, rather. But it's so much easier with a mixer. And so we're trying to figure some way to get a mixer over there. And we were set on it. Chantal had given up on it long ago, but I said, no, we got to get one. We got to get it there. You know, she said, no, I'll just knead it myself and so on. I said, oh, that'll just take too long. So eventually, you know, we've read enough stuff from there and orientation guides and so on. They're like, you know, don't bother bringing anything from Canada to U.S. You know, the power is different. It's 240 over there. The hertz are different. You'll more than likely burn out parts, and it's very expensive to get, so don't bother bringing it. So they said, all right, well, forget the mixer. It's not going to happen. Sorry, Chantal, you're going to have to do it by hand. And then we get some pictures from this family. Again, they're just cell phone image quality pictures. And a little description, you know, we're willing to leave all the stuff if you want. Or if you want, we'll pack it up and store it, whatever you want. So, no, no, we'll be happy to use it if you're willing for us to use it. But in the description, so, you know, a coffee maker, KitchenAid, that's all it said, and then a long list of other things. And said, well, KitchenAid, I wonder if that's a mixer. And so we had to start doing some detective work and looking into these cell phone images and blowing them up. And you say, oh, wait a minute, that's a kitchen. And, you know, that picture looks an awful lot like our mixer. But, you know, I don't know it's a mixer. So then, of course, we email them, and it's basically the same mixer that we have here, that they have there. And so we don't have to worry about taking it. Again, just small details, but it's amazing. God works in all these ways just to show us this is what He has for us, and it's incredible. We truly serve an amazing God. And sometimes we might lose sight of that, but we most certainly can trust Him, and He leads, He provides, He's faithful. He is an amazing God. So we're looking forward to calling this home. Of course, if we're there longer than a year, we'll get served an eviction notice. We'll be kicked out because the family will want their house back. Another little story involving Julia. This is a house. They have five boys. And so as we're looking through the pictures and looking at stuff, you could see some of the toys and so on. And she got this very sad look on her face. And Julia, what's wrong? I don't want to go to Papua New Guinea anymore. So why don't you want to go to Papua New Guinea anymore? You're excited for it. There's no girl toys there. It's only boy toys. And so I don't want to go anymore. I said, Julia, there's girls around. You'll be fine. So she's happy to know that there's some girls next door. So she doesn't have to worry that they do have girl toys in Papua New Guinea. So just a few things that you could pray for. Again, every month when we send out our newsletter, we'll put some things of items of praise and things to pray for. One of the things just we'd ask prayer for is just our house. We were kind of the mindset, we were ready to sell it and just to say, Lord, whatever's next, we're ready for it. And then we don't have the burden of trying to maintain or rent out a house halfway around the world and all that goes on with that. But it looks like the Lord has said, no, you know what, I want you to rent it. And so we're just working through those details this coming week. So hopefully that will get firmed up. We're going to, again, book our airplane tickets. And again, just hopefully, we just trust the Lord that we'll be able to have seats somewhat close together, at least when traveling with six people. I mean, it would be to their detriment if they split us up and we put two of the kids in the front of the plane and just leave them there on their own. But then they'll probably make sure we're seated together. But it'll be quite an adventure, of course, traveling such a long distance. I don't even know how long we'll be flying for. Again, with the time change, you know, it says always, you know, plus 2 days and so on. And say, oh man, hopefully it's not two full days of flying and airports and so on. So we do pray for that. Of course, there's definitely stress that goes along with that. As we think of packing up our house and what to do with the stuff, do we hang on to it? Do we not hang on to it? What do we take to go over? We know we don't want to take anything more than we have to. But we also don't want to find out and say, oh man, we wish we would have taken this. And so working through all of those details. And again, it's just become more mindful to us over the time too, just the change it is for our kids. And you know, we kind of think they're quick to adapt, but we can even see in some of their behavior and some of the things that are going on that there's some anxiety there for them as they think of leaving the only life that they've known. You know, three of our kids were born in New Liskeard and grew up in New Liskeard. That's the only home. They were quite relieved when they said, well, you know, it looks like we might be renting our house. And so that was just a big comfort for them. And so we're not necessarily mindful of some of those things. You know, of course, friends. Some of them have some very good friends. It was hard for them to get friends. And so you can keep our kids in prayer. We have no doubt that the Lord is in this. He'll take care of all of those things. But it is definitely a challenge along the way. So if you want to keep in contact, some of this information is on our prayer card. So the email address is on top. We will get a little better with our blog. We only have one entry so far, but just with so much going on, it's the one thing we said, well, we'll wait for that. Our newsletter, we're going to try and share more details of what's going on. Our blog, we really want to share with people what the Lord is doing in us and through us. We had done that when we went to Belize, and we know a number of people who followed it. We know a few of the assemblies would actually read our blog entries at their midweek meeting and so on, and it was just encouraging to know that they didn't just send us out to the work and just kind of left us out there, that they're very much a part of it as well. And so we'll get that going a little more faithfully as we get closer, and then as we're there, Lord willing, just keep that updated. And then we do have profiles on Ethnos and MSC. If you want to partner with us and share with us, you can do that there, find out some more information about us. That's all there as well. And so really the only other thing that we have is just, again, if you want to receive our newsletters, we actually have, just because we have three mailing lists that you can sign up for. It's all in the same place. You we'll have our monthly newsletters. You can also be notified when we do have a blog update. You can get an email from that. So there's updates for that. And then there's also prayer items. So again, we have different people on different lists. A number of people from, we'll say, friends of our kids and their parents have wanted to follow us, so they might get our newsletter, but we wouldn't put things necessarily to pray for because they really would have no understanding of that. So that will go to a select group of people. Those who would like to receive our prayer updates and things that are pressing and so on will be shared on that list. So again, we're very thankful for the opportunity to be here with you. Again, it's been quite a few years since we're here. Again, we've been in the school of our Lord and Savior, and he's teaching us. We're definitely not close to the end when we think of Christ-likeness, but we're learning along the way. And it's been exciting to see how the Lord has worked in our lives, you know, really from the time here and on. And we look forward to him as he leads us and guides us going forward. So we'd be happy to answer any questions you might have afterwards. By all means, ask the kids anything you want. Ask them the hard questions, and hopefully they'll have the answer. But thank you very much again for the time we could be here.